good, you're here. Just wrapping up 12 presents. Welcome to Life Lab Notes and our holiday series, The 12 Days of Christmas Regifted. We're taking the daily gifts listed in that famous carol and celebrating them in our own way. Day 3, Three French Hens by Claire Barnhart.
I come from a family that is secretly, deep down, very romantic. We all have that spark inside us to be real rooftop proclaimers of love, but somewhere along the line in England or Sweden or the Midwest, we learned that it was better and much more socially acceptable to be polite. Politeness truly was the overarching theme of my childhood. Learning to write thank you cards for the slightest offering, to hide my emotions in public places, anything to keep up the facade of a well-mannered mini-adult. As a kid, I was convinced that I was so different from the rest of my family. I craved outbursts of tears and laughter and exclamations of any kind. I loved the over-the-top love of old movies, the way they'd kind of swoop toward each other to kiss. My greatest wish was to have a teary heart-to-heart in front of a fire with someone, and maybe at the end one person puts a hand on the other's shoulder and says, "Thank you for telling me that. You are so brave." My family practiced restraint in most things, workplace arguments, funerals, breakfasts, but there's one subject the whole gang was allowed and even encouraged to express their feelings for. France. We were a polite, Midwestern family with a messy, unbridled love for France. Some of us were fluent in French, others could make creme brulee. All of us loved Amélie. Just hearing the word Paris sent us into a collective tizzy, our imaginations spinning with the pure je ne sais quoi of it all. But for all our obsession with the place, not one of us had ever been there. It was always discussed as a near future possibility, but no one could ever quite make the leap. Maybe we were afraid of feeling too many feelings once we got there, or maybe because of the movies we watched and the books we read, it was all just too perfect in our minds to risk ruining it with reality. Either way, the family message was always quite clear. France was a place where anything was possible. Ransom, Illinois, on the other hand, was not. We all went about our days, work, school, thank you notes, and I think we would have just kept plodding along in the same way forever had it not been for Uncle Buck. I know what you're thinking, I've seen that movie, but no, we had a real Uncle Buck, and before you imagine gigantic pancakes and slapstick comedy, I have to tell you that our Uncle Buck was no John Candy. He was just as stifled as the rest of us, outwardly civilized while privately aching for love. He had lived his whole life as a bachelor in central Illinois, working in the office of a garbage facility. When asked about his greatest aspirations, he'd respond, "Pretty soon, we're gonna be the biggest dump in the state." One day in late October, Uncle Buck made a huge announcement. He was going on a trip, his first in maybe ever. He called us up and said, "Well, I'm going to France. See you all at Christmas." We were bursting with questions, confusion, and barely concealed jealousy, but polite as always, we sent him off with a pleasant bon voyage. At night, we'd dream about him, about what he was eating, who he was talking to in those cute little cafes. They were the most exciting dreams any of us had ever had, and unfortunately, they featured our middle-aged uncle. We rarely heard from him in those next few months, except for a postcard from a town called Colmar, which had a joke in French that none of us could translate. This was obviously very upsetting to my supposedly fluent family members, but it was nothing compared to the pandemonium of his arrival at Christmas. Uncle Buck returned on schedule on December 23rd and called my grandma to let her know he had had a safe flight. Now, we don't discuss our feelings in person, so what he said over the phone to my grandma was truly unprecedented. He had met a woman in Paris, they had fallen in love, and she had accompanied him back to Illinois. Oh, and this was not just any woman. This was a real French woman. Will she be staying for Christmas? my grandma managed in a stage whisper.
Mais bien sûr, replied Uncle Buck, but of course.
The news sent shockwaves through the family. A French woman was going to spend a holiday with us? No one said as much out loud, but you could feel the fear and exhilaration wafting off of them. Many of us had never even met a French person. How in the name of Papa Noel were we supposed to maintain our careful civility around our one shared obsession? Would we even make it through the night, or would we just explode and completely embarrass ourselves and feel compelled to send I'm sorry letters for the rest of our days? In the end, we silently agreed to do what we did best, repress and ignore. We definitely had the practice. We'd pushed everything else down. Why not one more little thing? Surely there was room for it. We drove to my grandparents' house on Christmas Eve, feeling cautiously prepared for the greatest challenge of our lives. Then we saw her. She looked completely normal when she walked in, arm looped in my uncle's, a kind smile on her face. She didn't have that sachet we assumed was standard issue, and there were no silk scarves involved. Uncle Buck introduced her as My Marie, a glowing look in his eyes that sang, I love you, I love you, I love you. She offered a slightly guttural, Hello. And we went bananas. All night, the cousins queued up to fetch Marie more wine before she was even finished with her current glass, and more than one aunt excused herself for a cool down in some of that lovely frostbitten air. My grandma kept bringing Marie plate after plate of hors d'oeuvres, and when she ran out, lugging random kitchen appliances to the living room to ask if they looked like the ones a French family would use. My little sister sat way too close to our guest of honor, seemingly trying to smell her, though to be fair, Marie smelled delicious. Even my mother, normally the most composed of them all, was lying on the floor in a state of utter shock under the guise of having dropped her wedding band into the floor vent. We were a mess, and I loved it. Finally, proof that my family could feel, could emote, could totally lose it. We were just like the other families, just like crazy Darlene's family down the street who would yell at each other and slam doors and then hug before bed. This was my greatest dream realized. A Bailey's and chocolate milk in my 12-year-old hands, one perk of belonging to a European family, I watched in glee as my family's thickly spackled politeness shattered, leaving them raw and red as tiny baby birds. Cackling laughter filled the air, along with good-humored arguments that broke out over wine choices. Several couples even shared a public kiss under the mistletoe. I sat back in my grandma's green recliner and I watched the sweet, sweet madness descend around me. I had truly never been happier. That night, as the lights flickered on the tree and my family plunged into mayhem, I realized that maybe I wasn't so different from them after all. Some of us might have been better at hiding it, but really, we were all just bundles of complicated human emotions trying to figure things out. By the next morning, everyone had grown ever so slightly more comfortable with our future French aunt. The fervor had quelled, the pulses slowed, and we set about returning to our well-mannered way of life. But at least for that one night, we had let our feelings run the show. It was the best Christmas ever.
Three French Hens was written and performed by Claire Barnhart.
Thanks for listening. Please stop by our website, lifelabnotes.com, and read about the very cool writers, actors, and musicians who joined in on this project. And follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at lifelabnotes. And spread the word. Wait, more importantly... spread some joy.